Oh, there you go. I was looking at my guest, Peter Rupert, and Richard's picture was in a smaller part of the screen, so I didn't realize he was pointing at me to tell me we're back. Today's guest, Peter Rupert, Executive Forecast Director, Economic Forecast Executive Director of the UCSB Economic Forecast, and Associate Director of the UCSB Laboratory for Aggregate Economics and Finance, along with Nobel Laureate Finn Kidlin, if that is still current. Previously, okay, good. Previously served as a senior research advisor for the Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland for 13 years, coming to us live from Istanbul, Turkey. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Peter Rupert.
Mark, thanks very much for having me.
Well, thanks for carving out the time. I can't believe you're in Istanbul. What the hell are you doing in Istanbul?
Came here to visit some a friend who had an operation, and we spend a fair amount of time here in the summer, and maybe once or twice during the year.
You've been doing that for a few years?
Yes, a few years.
Man, so are you part of a large crew of Americans who are spending time there, or what's it like?
No, I mean, I don't know how many Americans actually are here, but it's fantastic here. I mean, it's actually gotten very expensive. Inflation's somewhere between 40 and 60%, depending on how these things get measured, and the dollar hasn't done much. So prices are going up, and things are expensive. And I can tell you, I mean, many houses that condos are sell between 600,000 and $1 million, that have a view and things like that. So it's not cheap here.
And what about, well, it's cheaper than Santa Barbara real estate, but Santa Barbara real estate is not fair to compare to. That sounds very expensive.
It's very expensive, but you have to remember there's about 16 or 17 million people that live in Istanbul. So yeah, it's crazy.
I looked it up as it's located in both the European and Asian sides of the Bosphorus Strait. They call it
Yeah, the Bosphorus Straits, it splits Europe from Asia.
That's bizarre. And I looked at the two bodies of water, but I can't remember what they are. One, the do you know?
There's a Black Sea.
The Black Sea is north, right?
Yep, and then the Marmara Sea. So
Oh yeah, you're good. You had that in your head. Good for you.
yeah.
What about food? Is food as expensive as
It is. It's gotten very expensive. It's just crazy. And so, and the government does actually control some prices of things. And so, they don't change prices very regularly. So things like the ferry service is pretty cheap. But food has gone up a lot.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because that's going to dovetail right into our topic where you wrote a piece, A Rent Control is a Renter's Nightmare. And I want to talk to you about that and why you wrote this. And then you'll actually be able to dovetail in government assistance. You think coming up, Proposition 33 is on the November 5th ballot. And you wrote that it's the latest attempt to destroy California's housing market, and it's related to Costa-Hawkins Rental Housing Act that was enacted in 1995. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, basically any study you read, and there's a lot of them, I can tell you that goes from Berlin to Santa Monica to Beverly Hills to Minneapolis. I mean, St. Paul, Minnesota, Cambridge, Massachusetts, just around the world. But I and there's very basically there's probably no economist that you can find who would think that rent control is a good idea. And if you just look at the economics of it, individuals have they might own apartments, landlords. We have developers who are trying to develop housing. And, you know, they need to get a rate of return, and they have substitutes. So if you look at all the things that happened with rent control, you know, once rent control or rent stabilization or whatever you want to call it, it impacts the bottom line of people who are either landlords or people thinking about developing. And so what happens is that in many instances, for example, in Argentina, you see when rent control gets imposed, a lot of people, they turn their apartments into condos or they turn them into Airbnbs because it doesn't work as a rental market if you can't raise rents. And developers coming in, and we talk about it all the time, you know, we're going to start seeing some housing come on the market here, as you mentioned. And so, you know, those kind of things, whether or not they get built, depends on a lot of things. If you have to buy the land, you have to pay to get it developed. The cost of construction has skyrocketed. The materials prices have gone up by somewhere between 20 and 30% in the last couple of years. And if you can't recoup those losses, there's no sense in renting. And so you turn it into a condo, or you just keep it off the market. And you know, so what that means is, it's true that some people who have that are in those apartments that can that the rent's not going to go up by very much. They're going to be winners, but everybody else is a loser. And people who are wanting to move into the into Santa Barbara, for example, or any other city, we see the available apartments fall. In San Francisco, they fell by 15% after the imposition of rent control. And so there's fewer apartments, which means we're trying to bring in, you know, nurses and educators, you know, waiters, waitresses, et cetera, staff. When rents are so high, they're not coming here. And so how do you get rents down? That's the question. And it turns out that rent control is not the way.
My guest is Peter Rupert, UCSB Economic Forecast Executive Director, and has written a long piece. I could email it to you if you want to email me at mark@radiorealestate.com or text me at 805-452-2428, 452-2428. And he outlines, and he's obviously, as he's talking, I'm seeing that he's picking points from his article. Costa, and what did you say happened in San Francisco when they instituted rent control? What went down 15%?
The amount of available apartments fell because people take them off the market. And, you know, but there's, you know, this is a real rabbit hole. And, you know, what has to happen if you, once you start imposing rent control? Santa Monica, for example, has a rent control board. Their budget is $6 million a year. It turns out the city of Santa Barbara doesn't have $6 million a year on hand just to do this. They have a staff of about 20 people. They have to regulate what's going on, check the rents, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, just the rent control itself is harmful, but then you have to do all these other things to prevent people from, for example, turning their properties into condo. You have to start doing things about evictions and, you know, all these different processes that we have. And anytime you put up these barriers to individuals trying to provide housing, it means there's going to be just fewer houses on the market. And I can tell you there's a very, very interesting YouTube from Zoran Mamdani, and the YouTube is it's about halal meat in New York and food trucks, and it's quite fascinating. I mean, if you listen to what he says there, he really understands economics, but then he thinks that we should have, you know, rent control and a bunch of other free things. But what he says in this piece is he goes around to food trucks and says, "How much do you charge for chicken on rice?" And they say like $10. And they said, "Okay, how do you get a permit?" And he said, "Well, the only way to get a permit right now is you have to buy it from somebody else who has a permit, and it can cost up to $20,000. If you bought it from the city, it's $400." And so what's happening is, suppose you don't want more food trucks. What you do is you limit the permits. Therefore, the price of permits goes up, fewer people can afford it, and the price of chicken on rice goes up. By the way, the same thing happens with rent control. you make it very difficult for people to get into that market to develop, to rent out their apartments. You're going to see fewer of them, and rents are going to go up in the rest of the city. Just that's what's going to happen.
It's funny, and you said the price of the permit goes up, but not ultimately to the municipality. Some
Correct.
individuals, like you said, lucky people who get in and pay low rent, they're lucky. But then maybe they don't have an incentive to move up, either get a
Right.
rear and move somewhere else, or save in money and buy a house. And
And you see this everywhere, you know. I mean, you know, and so in that piece by Mamdani, which I think is everybody should watch, it's really fascinating. But, you know, they have people are like, you know, why don't you just buy it from the city? And this one individual says, well, I applied 2 years ago. I'm still number 3,800 in line to get a permit. And so that's the kind of thing that happens when you restrict supply, which, by the way, rent control does. And restricting supply means fewer apartments on the market. And since the supply has fallen, overall, rents go up. So, you know, that's just happens in every city we've ever seen, rent control being imposed.
Yet people, people claim they want to follow the science, they want to follow the studies. Are you preaching to the choir? Is anyone listening to not just you,
Well,
all this evidence?
I mean, I think economists know this very well. I think that some people know it. If you talk to developers, they know it. You ask them, you know, if this happens, are you going to build? And they're like, no. And you look at what it costs now to build a, you know, a 1 or 2 bedroom multifamily unit. It's costing up to $1 million. And how can you? You know, and it's for lots of different reasons, permitting and things like that. So, you know, we have to find better ways to build more housing. That's all there is to it.
My guest, Peter Rupert, UCSB Economic Forecast Director, wrote a piece, Rent Control is a Renter's Nightmare. You could probably just Google it and find it. If you went to YouTube to find this Zoran Mamdani, I apologize if I'm not pronouncing his name correctly. It's not by on purpose. Would you just Google food truck and his name and you'd find that piece or?
Yeah, it's called halalflation. Halal
Halal.
meat inflation. Halal. That's halal meat inflation.
Halal inflation. How do you spell halal?
Hallal.
Good. You're a wealth of information. I
Really?
can't stump you. You keep coming back with every, you knew both seas on the Bosphorus Strait.
Well, I'm not
What
sure about.
kind of name is Bosphorus? Sounds like phosphorus. Sounds like a chemical.
No, it's just no halal. It's just let's see, just Hallal. Yeah, Hallal.
Only
That's halal.
okay, halal inflation. And you got other studies, you're going all across the world. You do mention in your article about food prices, and the solution is food stamps, vouchers, SNAP,
Yeah.
which by the way ran out a couple of days ago. And you see the government reopening this week?
I have no idea. I mean, it's just like it's such a mess. You know, the way the US government does this, it's frightful. I think it just hurts people, and they're playing some kind of political football. This happens in no other country in the world, by the way. US is the only one that has to bargain over this and play political. So it's really a bad system, I think there.
Maybe this shutdown will get, and they're talking about the nuclear option and getting rid of the filibuster. No one wants to do that, but maybe they should just change the rules so this can't happen. I don't know what that would do to the system. But so you mentioned the people, rent control comes in. Describe first of all the change, because we do have this. What was Costa-Hawkins Rental Housing Act in 1995? And how would Proposition 33 upend that? What do they want to change?
Well, it was, you know, basically that it had to do with when houses were built and single family houses. And, you know, it kind of, I mean, it didn't stop rent control. Obviously, California has a rent control, statewide. But it did affect, which kind of places would be under rent control. And, getting rid of that would be like everything would be under rent control. So, that's one of them. And you've probably heard the new city council in Santa Barbara come up with a proposal for, a new process, which they currently voted down, but not for the right reasons, I don't think. I mean, I think that, the right reason is it's going to just, kill the rental market. And so if you're going to control the growth of rents to be, I think it was like 60% of the CPI, I can't imagine a developer or someone renting homes, to keep doing that. So, those things, and you have to understand, economics. I mean, it's, you might hate economists, you might hate thinking about economics, but, you have to really decide whether, a private developer is going to build more housing given all the circumstances. And if it doesn't pencil out, they're just not going to do it. And, so, I think we have to be very careful about, what we're doing in Santa Barbara. And, it's been shown in several different places that it's not necessarily just about building low income, affordable housing. There's something called filtering in the housing market, which is even if you build, luxury houses, the people that move into those luxury houses move out of another place. It's not as luxurious. Someone moves into there, they moved out of another place, and rents tend to fall just from the fact that you're just building more supply, which is the only way right now to get prices to fall. And, you mentioned the food idea, and, no one says that, you go to Vaughn's or Albertson's, there's not a section over there that says, 20% less for tomatoes. We don't have that. It just doesn't happen. And, what they do instead is they provide things like food stamps, SNAP or whatever, that makes it such that the farmer gets the market price for tomatoes. And if the farmer doesn't get the market price for tomatoes, they're not going to sell them.
And the supermarket gets their market price for the tomatoes.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So can that, what kind of government programs? Now there's, what is it called? Section 8?
That is Section 8.
You'd rather see that expanded rather than rent control?
I would. Oh, it's Section 8 is basically, let the developers or the landlord, get the market rent and have the tenants, pay less through a government subsidy program, just like food stamps. And, there's just not a really better way that I can think of right now to do that. Of course, there's other issues that we have about, permitting and, and those kind of things. But it turns out, as you probably know, that it's very easy to kill a project. And we've seen many, many projects being killed for various reasons, whether it's height restrictions, density problems, you name it. And so, like I said about the food trucks, if you want fewer food trucks, make it impossible to get permits. And if you want fewer housing, make it really difficult for builders and landlords to rent their places.
And you'll get higher price on food and you'll get higher rents.
You will.
Now, the city of Santa Barbara, you mentioned the rent control that they thought about passing. They didn't pass it, but it didn't go away completely. I can't really articulate exactly where it's at, but they're going to revisit it.
They are.
At the same time, they're negotiating with developers on Paseo Nuevo to build a ton. Do you think, I remember years ago, maybe it was more related to housing prices than rents, is that the answer was you can't build your way out of it. But did you say that we can build our way out of it in terms of rentals?
Well, look, again, it's just basic, econ 101, that there's a supply of housing and a demand for housing. And if demand stays fixed, the only way to get lower prices is to increase the supply. It's the only way to do it. And you start putting rent control on, it limits the supply. It just does exactly the opposite. So, the only way to do it is to increase supply. And whether or not it, it's big enough in terms of, how far down a rent's going to go. I mean, look at New York City, right? It's as dense as you can possibly be. They have, 60-story buildings, that it's completely dense, and it's impossible to live in Manhattan, right? So they couldn't build their way out of it. And, they have rent control. The idea here is, we have limited space. We should maybe build some smaller houses, build factory-built homes, build them for 300,000 to 500,000, something like that. As I mentioned, the cost at some of our low-income housing is $1 million a square foot or more. And,
You,
that just
you
is not
mean
sustainable.
you mean $1 million per unit?
Per unit, sorry.
Yeah, no, you mentioned that earlier. Hey, Peter, can we take a commercial break and come back and do another short segment?
You bet.
Istanbul, what time is it there?
It's 10:39.
Okay, well, you better limit it to just two glasses of wine. I don't know what you've been drinking there, but no, I'm kidding. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. RadioRealEstate.com. My guest, Peter Rupert, UCSB Economic Forecast Executive Director. I want to circle back a little bit more on that downtown Paseo Nuevo and what's going on out at San Marcos Growers. The county seems to have wanted to allocate 46% of all the homes they have to zone by 2031. They basically did it on one parcel, and I live right near there, so I'm not happy about that. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.